Well, good morning, B-Side. Today is a special Sunday for at least me because of the preparation that was involved to do this service, getting scripture ready, getting all the different parts that are going to be moving today. And opening disclaimer, read it for yourself. Warning, the following part of the service is outside the norm of what we normally do, okay? We're going to be doing a lot of prayer together and separately on your own. We're going to be listening to some testimonies. We're going to be hearing a lot of scripture, probably more than normal, and just a lot of things going on. And so before we start, I want to read us an opening I wrote. And so if you just listen and just reflect as I read, I want to start this morning by asking you a question. Have you come ready and prepared to be in the house of God? Of course, we tidy up our hair and put on the clothes we want. But have we come spiritually ready to hear from God, to taste God's goodness, or to see God move mightily in us and amongst us? Have we come here today hoping our hearts are moved by the Spirit of God, so that we leave as if we were in the very presence of God himself, where our faces shine bright with his glory like Moses? Or that we might have the boldness of the Apostle Paul to declare God's truth to any and all who need to hear outside of this gymnasium. If you are like me, you have come many times as a spectator at an event, hoping to see something awesome, but you know what? If nothing happens, the next thing is coming when church concludes. Others of us, including myself at times, may come with a heart that can hardly be called responsive. You might as well be likened to a dead man walking into this place. For if God were to show up in the flesh himself, you might wonder in your heart of hearts if such a thing could move you even then. So as this worship response portion of service is about to begin, I desire... Whoa. Satan, stop it. Tell you what. All right. So as we are about to begin this portion, I desire for us as a body to prepare our hearts to encounter the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We at times are like the people of Israel in 2 Chronicles 30. For they gathered to worship, but they had not consecrated themselves. Or in other words, they had not come prepared for the service of or participation of the Passover feast as God had directed them through his word. We likewise may have shown up here today unprepared. This is a normal Sunday. Why come any differently? So we are about to pray to prepare ourselves for the rest of this service. I believe God will hear and come encounter you if you are sincere and zealous to know him and the power of his resurrection. For we see also in 2 Chronicles 30 that when the king prayed for the people, even though they were not ready, God heard and he healed. So let us go to prayer now before we begin, that we might be ready to hear and to see God move. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. I pray that you would move amongst us, God, that you would hear from heaven our prayers, our praise, our petitions, Father, and that you might answer us, Father. I'm excited for this service that we might see you move, God. There is testimony in the Old Testament and New Testament of when the people of God prayed, you did something awesome. And so we pray that that would be the case here today. Spiritually, we might be changed and walk away from this service more like Jesus. So we pray for the rest of this time. I pray that you would speak through me, get me out of the way, let your word speak for itself, the truth of all life found in your word, God. And I pray for the different people speaking up here this morning that you would give them the words to speak as well. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. Drew, if you'd come.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from 2 Chronicles 5, 13, and 14. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Another scripture we have is Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Drew. So Drew just read two passages on the movement of God in a powerful way from both parts of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New. As we continue in this service, now that we are prepared to hear from God, we look to see more on how he moves and what we might do to bring it about in our own lives. Our actual focus today, right now, is Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The key verse I want to key in on today is verse 18. We are not to be drunk on wine, but rather to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, wine is an example of many things that we can fill up our lives with that are not godly things. Interestingly enough, all three passages mention the word filled, and I had them italicized for us. You see, wine is something that as it fills you up, it takes you over, and it makes you into somebody else. It consumes your mind and your directions and your actions. But then again, you can always put something else in its place. It might not be wine in your life, but it might be a different thing that consumes you. God desires you be filled with the Spirit. As you fill yourself up with him, he takes over who you are and makes you into the image of Jesus Christ. The verb tense of this verse, be filled, is a continuous action done over and over again. A better way to read it is to keep being filled constantly. The Christ follower is given the Holy Spirit once and for all at salvation, but we are to be constantly filling up on the Holy Spirit. Sin can empty us in a way. As we see in Scripture, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will stop speaking to us over time if we do not make it right with him. So we must be about filling ourselves with God. The passages Drew read give us hints to how this occurs. Worship, praise, thanksgiving, obedience to the word, prayer. And when the people of God do these things, the Holy Spirit is able to exercise his power in our lives. Also realize it is a combination of quantity and quality as we grow in Christ that allows us to be filled with the Spirit yet again, yet again, yet again, and more fully than before. It's not a one and done thing. It is something you need to do constantly. We even see in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit again after they received the Holy Spirit, showing us that it is something we pursue in our lives. As a Christ follower, I hope to see the glory of God descend. I hope to see this place shaken because of our belief, our focus on him, and our praise. We know the Holy Spirit is God, and he has an important role in our lives. And look at these few things I just put on the screen behind me that the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He prays for us on our behalf. Even when we don't pray correctly, he prays for us. The Holy Spirit, at the moment of belief, enters within the believer. The Holy Spirit empowers us in Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit guides us to truth. And the Holy Spirit convicts of both sin and righteousness. And then we've all felt that if we are Christ followers here, where we're convicted of our sin and we need to say sorry. And we've probably felt as well the conviction of righteousness, to do something right, to reflect Jesus. And so all these things the Holy Spirit does. Is there proof of him in our lives? Is there proof of him in our testimony? Eric Wilson is going to come up and give testimony to a time in his life when God directed his steps and the Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way. So if Eric, you'd come.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world watching. I'll be brief. My testimony starts in 2005. My wife and I, Jill, who's in the nursery, hi. We were discussing our family and growing our family. At that time in our life, Harrison was our only child, and we didn't want him to be an only child, and we were not having any success in conceiving, and so we started talking about adoption. adoption through an agency wasn't an option for us, just money-wise. We couldn't make that happen, and so we started looking at foster care. In November of 2005, I think it was November, we attended an adoption Saturday at the courthouse, and that's really where the journey started. Fast forward a couple of years, 2007, we are now a licensed foster home, and we take in my daughter. I get choked up. We take in my daughter, and we adopt her on June 3rd of 2008. A couple years later, we get Bryce, who we were not planning for. We were done after Bella. We got our daughter, and that was it. But Bryce came along, and he was family. He was Bella's brother, and so we adopted him as well. June 3rd is a special day in our house. We adopted Bella on June 3rd, 2008. We adopted Bryce on June 3rd, 2010. At that point, we were done. We let our foster care license go. There was no more room at the inn. Come fast forward again to 2012. Through this time, we were attending Lutheran Church of the Cross in Altoona. I'm sure many of you have heard that story, that Pastor Chris and I attended the same church. One of the couples that we met at Church of the Cross was also a foster home. After we had given up our license, that's when they started becoming a foster family. In Iowa, if you're not a licensed foster home, records are sealed. There's not supposed to be any knowledge or any communication of past adoptions or past foster care placements. Early December of 2012, I got an instant message, a Facebook Messenger message from an acquaintance from church who said that there was a child in the system that we might have a connection to, and to reach out to them. So I did that. There was no logical reason for them to reach out to me other than the fact that we were a former foster family and they were as well. So I reached out to her, and she, through the conversation, told me that she had been contacted by the state to take an emergency placement, to take a child placement that was already in an emergency placement from birth, and she was needing a long-term foster home to go to work through her case. They were ready to take her in when, for some reason, the state worker mentioned my name. And we weren't close friends with these folks, but we were acquaintances. We had some common interests with the foster care. And so she recognized my name and reached out to me. And it turns out that the child was the sister of Bella, of Bella and Bryce. So, you know, we're not a foster home anymore, and so we don't really have any ties. Talked to Jill about it, and we prayed about it extensively for that day. And when I say extensively, it was about a 10-minute conversation and a 10-minute prayer. It feels like it was 10 days, but it was only a natural reaction for me. She's family. She's my brother, she's the sister to my daughter and son. And so we agreed that we would reach out, make some phone calls, and see what we could find out. On December 14th, this is about a week later, she was 14 days old, and she came to our house. And we had gotten rid of all of our baby stuff. We were done. We were over it. And we didn't have a crib. We didn't have changing tables. We didn't have anything. And we took her in on the 14th of December in 2012. And that day, somebody from Church of the Cross came with boxes and boxes of diapers and formula and baby clothes and car seats and gift cards to Walmart and Target, and really blessed us with what we needed to get going. So we took her in, and we are relying on God to lead us through this, because now we've got five kids. We were stopping at three. Now we've got five. How are we going to do this? And it was purely by God's hand in our life that he got us through. He opened the right doors to get her to us so that we could ensure that connection with her siblings. And that was the ultimate goal, was to keep her and her siblings connected. When we took her in, that's five kids, another infant, and we've been there, done that, but it was eye-opening that we are past this stage, and that if we can't find a good place for her to be, we will adopt her. We wanted her to be in the family if we couldn't adopt her ourselves, which we had said we weren't going to. But it's through God's hand that my wife's cousin and her husband reached out to us. They knew about her. They knew her story. And they were interested in getting to know her and possibly adopting her. And so we gave them the contacts, the connections to get started in the foster care and pre-adoption path. And they had to fast track through that. And God guided them through that. God opened the right doors at the right time. And they took her in July of 2013, I guess it is. And they adopted her. And so she is still part of our extended family. We are still connected with her. And it's just through the work of God in our lives that that initial contact was made, because there was no reason that it should have happened. And so I can only credit God for that work in our lives and in her life to get her into her forever family that was going to give her the love that she needed. So that's my testimony.
Wow. God works amongst us even when we don't see, right? And it might be a dark time for you, but there is things going around you that God is doing. And that's why we have faith. We believe that he is working even when we cannot see. We're going to move to a time of prayer where you're going to be praying at your seats individually, and then I'm going to close us in a couple minutes. So I have some things listed on the screen for us to pray about. In this time now, pray to God for God to move amongst us, be glorified, that the Spirit would guide us into the truth of this rest of this service, that the Holy Spirit would be filling us, that we might get out of the way and let God take us over, that we would be empowered to do his will. So let's go to prayer. It's going to be, a silent time for a couple minutes, and then I will close us, and then we will sing a song. Lord God, be glorified in this place. Let us glorify you in our hearts. Let us be filled with your Spirit, Father. Let us be filled always, continuously being filled always. Thank you for the testimony of Eric, Father. I pray that you would help us to see the Holy Spirit moving in our own lives, small ways, big ways, and all in between, God. Lord, be with us the rest of this service as we sing and we hear scripture and we hear testimony and we hear teaching. God, help us to not leave the way we came in, God. Help us to leave with a knowledge of who you are, to know the Holy Spirit is inside of us, working on our behalf, praying on our behalf, God. We pray now that you would give us a spirit of praise as we sing this next song. Father, give us a desire in our hearts to give you praise and glory for who you are. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. Repentance means to change your mind about something. And so when we talk about having faith in Jesus, on the same coin, on the other side, would be repentance, to change your mind about sin and about who Jesus is. You see, a non-believer would say, Jesus is a good teacher, Jesus is a good man, Jesus is crazy. Or a non-believer would say, sin is fine, some things are good, some things aren't. But a Christian has been asked to change their mind about all that God teaches. To accept the gospel, the person must change their mind about sin and Jesus. Christians continue these days to repent or to change their mind about things. If you are a new believer, you come into this house maybe learning something new today that you might need to change your mind about today. As you move towards Christ, you lay some things behind. I would say that there might be a few people here today who need to truly repent and believe in Jesus. You see, faith in Christ is to sit in a chair, not only to believe a chair is sturdy, but to sit in it. You see, to believe in Jesus is not only to say he is God, but it is to make him Lord and Savior. Savior, he saves me from my sin. Lord, he is in control of who I am. And some of us might be wayward children. Some of us might be prodigal children. We've walked away from God. I have in my life, I know many of us who have been Christians a long time have also walked away from God. We have walked away. At that point, you need to repent and say sorry. But it's not only saying sorry, it's turning away from that which you're sorry for and moving towards holiness. Many of us fill our lives with things that aren't God glorifying, that aren't things that would give glory to God with our actions and with our words and with our deeds. And so the question is today, is there sin in your life that you need to repent of, to say sorry for? When I did the opening statement earlier, we talked about how we might walk in here like it's an average Sunday. Woe to us if we treat any day as average when God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we get to worship him, we get to live for him. He gives us a new life. He gives us a new perspective on life. We are not like the people around us who are not Christians. We should be different. And how do we reach that difference? One of those things is being sorry for the things in our lives. And there's a lot of good things in our lives. Work is good, honestly. There's a lot of good things that are done in work. We can give glory to God in our work. But if work becomes the be-all, end-all of our lives, it is an idol. It needs to be repented of and moved towards God. Family can be an idol. You need to repent of it and move towards what God says. Anything you can fill in there. And, you know, the example earlier was wine. That's very black and white, right? Don't get drunk on wine. But there are a lot of good things that even Christians will put in their lives that take the place of our Lord and Savior. And so I want to ask this question this morning. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ, this is a family of God. We are a family. This is a spiritual family. This is a more important family than your blood family. The blood family fails you because partly because God is not in control of your whole blood family. But in the spiritual family, we do fail each other, but there is forgiveness and there is love and there is reconciliation. And so this is the primary family. I know this better than anybody because all my family is in Michigan. So this is my primary family along with my school family at the Christian school. This is our primary family. And if it's not, it probably throws you off a little bit in life. Because if you put too much stock in the things of this world, bloodlines would be one of those things. It can throw us off. And, you know, the Holy Spirit cannot fill us, like we talked about earlier. And so I do want to ask the question, if anyone here has not put their faith in Jesus to the point where you are believing in him and letting him lead you, and you have not repented of your sin, saying sorry to God for who you are as a sinner, one who is not worthy, one who has fallen short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, the payment you get for your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning as a token on your belt or on your badge, it's not enough. You're not going to heaven because you're here this morning. You're not going to heaven if you took communion. You're not going to heaven for anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, that you accept his free gift of eternal life that he offers you. So anything else falls short. And so I want to ask that question of, if anybody has not believed in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and have chosen to walk towards him with the rest of your life, if you have not done so, I'm going to ask you to do something hard, but hopefully it's easy in the family of God. I'm asking you to stand up, because if you believe in your heart that he rose from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. So it's not a prayer thing. It's not a you have to do these five steps to believe, but the moment you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is and that he did what he said he did and he has the power to do all that he is going to do, once you believe those things, you are a Christ follower. And the Holy Spirit that we mentioned earlier enters into your heart once and for all, that you might be continuously filled. So if there's anybody here who has not accepted Christ, would you be willing to stand for me? Awesome. So a lot of us are proclaiming to be Christ followers. And so the next question I want to ask is, if you need prayer because you are walking away from Jesus, or you have walked away from Jesus, and today you're realizing that you are wayward, you have rejected the teachings of Christ for a time in your life, if you have done those things, would you please stand so that we might pray for you as a family of God? We're about to go to a time of repentant prayer. In this time now, ask God to reveal sin in your life, places where you miss the mark. The word sin means to miss the mark, okay? The mark that God has given us. In this time now, ask God to forgive you for your rebellion and sin. This week, even as I prepare for this message, I was continuously praying, God, forgive me. And I think a part of the realization of what sin is and how you need to repent is a part of getting closer to him. And as you get closer to him, there's more to repent of. There's more to be sorry for. The smaller things, the things that you might not be sorry for 5 years ago, are things that's like, oh my goodness, God, I can't believe I'm even this way today. And also another thing to pray for now is to help you repent and move towards righteousness in your life. We are daily called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. The cross is the symbol of death. Death to ourself, living for God. And so that is what we're called to do with our lives. And so in this time of prayer, God, reveal to me what the sin is in my life. Or God, show me the way I ought to go in this way of righteousness as we move together as a church body towards unity in Christ, towards righteousness in Christ, and towards loving each other as brothers and sisters in the family of God. So let's go to a time of prayer. Lord God, we ask that the Holy Spirit descended upon us, that he might guide us and convict us of sin. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be convicted now. If there's anything in our lives that is just taking the place of who you want us to be or who we should be following, which is you, Lord, if there's anything taking the place of you, God, an idol that needs to be thrown out and trashed, God, I pray that you would reveal it now and that we might ask for forgiveness and ask for a new path, God. Lord, I realize today and every day that I fall short, God. I pray that you would help me to realize, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I do not stand condemned. I have the righteousness of Jesus. I don't have to live in guilt or condemnation because you have forgiven me. You have given me the identity of a son, or for some of us as a daughter of the King. So God, I pray that you would help us to love one another. Help us to pursue righteousness. Help us to realize more and more how unworthy we are, but how worthwhile you have made us in your Son, Jesus. And so I pray that as we sing this next song, that we would consider how little we are compared to the greatness of who you are. That you should take any concern with us, God. But that's how much you loved us, that you gave your Son to die for us and raise again on the third day. So I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the reason we gather today, in your name, amen. So we've asked God to be here this morning and we've confessed our sins. So now we come to the portion of praise. To praise is to boast in or celebrate, and we have reason to praise and celebrate Christ for all he has done for us. Amen? Amen. Easter was a couple weeks ago now when Jesus died on the Good Friday and he rose again. Without that resurrection, without that death on the cross, we are hopeless. Paul says we are to be pitied above all people if this thing turns out to be a hoax. Obviously, it's not a hoax. But we trust and praise God for who he is and for what he's done. And I love the second point up there. The Hallelujah Factor writes this: when we praise God, productivity is maximized, fulfillment is realized, and frustration is neutralized. I just read in Job this morning when he lost his family, all his sons, all his daughters, he lost all his wealth on the same day. And what does Job do? He goes and worships and praises God for what happened. Amazing man of faith. Amazing. Throughout this week, we should be praising the Lord for what he does every day. If it is not in your heart to praise, then you should question this week, why don't I praise God for who he is and what he's done? Yes, the mountain may be high that we are facing, but God is able to take that mountain and throw it into the sea. God is able to lower that mountain so that we might pass. We have so much to praise God for. Help us, God, now to not see the negatives, but to see how you can overcome anything. And if you don't believe it, just go read the Old Testament for a good book or two, and you will see God's mighty provision in the midst of overwhelming odds, terrible situations, things that, man, my life is so terrible right now, but you can go read in the Old Testament and there was something worse. Not to downplay your own thing, but God was able to help those people. God is able to help you. Do you trust that? Do you believe it? Do you know it to be true? We finish this time with another testimony from Miss Doris here. So come on up. Praising God for something he has done in her life.
My story, and I do have, it's a miracle. I mean, we all have miracles in our testimonies, and I'm anxious to hear everybody's, but I have to start at the very beginning. I grew up in a Lutheran church, confirmation, Sundays, the church was what it was all about. At 17, my mother died. So my faith in the Lord was gone. Like, how would God do this to me and our family? So it was a time in my life I stepped away from God. And I went a little crazy and went through life. And that was, I eventually made it down to Florida, worked, but there was no God in my life. I had a very serious accident, and this is where the miracle part starts coming in. That was a huge devastation. I broke my neck, dove off of the back of a boat, and didn't know that there was a sandbar there, and broke my neck. I was lying in a hospital bed, The doctors talking over me saying, you're a quadriplegic, you will never walk again. And at that moment, something came over me, and I know now it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, no, you're wrong. I am going to walk again. This is not happening to me. My God is not going to allow this. And the doctors just thought I was crazy and proceeded with, you know, plans of making my life manageable or how to live with not being able to move from the neck down. And basically telling me that there was no hope. And we as Christians know there's always hope. So, fast forward a little bit, God was there for me in a way that I didn't realize he could be there for me. Friends and family began visiting me, and I'm not going to say this was not an easy journey. I was not moving anything but my mouth for a long time, months. It took over a year to be able to stand. So it was a lot of hard work, but all the people that came to visit me from all over began praying for me. And I started asking for prayer from anybody and everybody I came in contact with. And I was praying on a regular basis to a God that I thought I had completely forgotten. So it is repentance as well, because he came back, or I let him back into my heart. He was always there. I know that now. But it was a miracle because, as you see, I walked up here. I'm not in a wheelchair. My life moved forward. And in so many ways, it was enriched through that horrific accident. Like, I don't even know how I thought that everything would be okay. I just knew that it would be okay, and that was the Holy Spirit. And in so many other times in my life, I never felt stronger about that. And sadly, through those years, God was with me, but there came another point in my life when he was no longer there. Busyness of life, I got married. Our life was happy, we worked hard, we had a lot going on, and then all of a sudden, we were with a church, but somehow we strayed. And life got bad again for me. And this is the part I didn't think I would be sharing, but I feel that I have to because it's all part of my story. So life got bad again, and I started drinking more than I should. And an addiction is, you know, that's also just a huge, you know, whether it's the devil, whether it's whatever, but I know that my addiction at that time was because I was not walking with God anymore. And I thought it was because we were trying to have a child and we didn't have the baby and that's why I was unhappy and that's why I was drinking, but it wasn't. God wasn't with me anymore, or I didn't let him be with me anymore. And until I really, as an alcoholic says, hits their bottom and was ready to ask for his forgiveness again and come back to me, was I able to straighten up, let the alcohol leave my life, and I began daily, hourly, asking for his forgiveness and for his help to get through and to get me back to where he was with me and my family, and he was. And so now, it's 15 years later, I'm walking, I'm not drinking. I have a beautiful daughter, wonderful husband, and when my life goes bad in my mind, it's when I'm not walking with him and I'm not praying or asking for his forgiveness or to help me or to help those around me. I know that in those years when I walked away from him, I hope and pray I'll never do that again. I don't think I will. Because when he's with me, things, sure, there's ups and downs, but it's never that bad. And I share my miracles with you, and I know we all have awesome testimonies and awesome miracles in all of our lives, because that's what God does for each and every single one of us. And I look forward to hearing them all. Thanks.
Amen. Thanks. Amen. Thank you. And some of us might be sitting here going, I don't have a great testimony, but a spiritual mountain being removed with faith is already amazing in and of itself. So even if you were like, I don't know if my testimony is that great, just remember that the spiritual that we face is more important than the physical. You've encountered it yourself when you try and witness to someone or your family who might not believe. The spiritual battle there is huge. And so when God overcomes that spiritual resistance for us, that person might be saved, that is a big deal in and of itself. Father God, we praise you for this service. We praise you for who you are. Jesus, thank you that you came and died and rose again for us. Even though at the beginning, Adam and Eve chose rebellion, and we are the fruit of that by being born of their offspring, God, you still sent the Redeemer, one who is 100% God, 100% man, Jesus Christ. We thank you. I pray that this week we would have an opportunity to give praise to you when we normally would curse, or maybe just have an upset heart. I pray that we'd have an opportunity to repent, maybe where we don't normally repent, but you just bring awareness, God, and just that you would show us this week that the Holy Spirit is indeed active in our lives, that we might see his power working in us. We thank you for all this, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.